Namaste. Welcome to this January week four homework update. And we have a lot of homework to go through today. Before I get started, I just want to remind everyone that as a graduate program member, I would be expecting you to take the Dissolving the Ego course again. You can't take it too many times. And each time you take it, it will deepen your understanding of what we're doing in the course and the graduate program. The graduate program is a way to assimilate what we're learning in the course and not a replacement for it. And so everyone should be signed up by now for the course. If not, you have only 3 days. Wednesday is a cutoff point for signing up again for that. And so I'd urge you to just double check that you've done that. And very soon we are having the graduate program live session for February. So just double check, keep a watch for when that is. Every month, the link and the password for the session, the live session, is on the page where you log in on the website, and the recordings get posted on there. So I want to thank you for your wonderful homework that's coming in, and we'll get started. Okay. So the first one says, "Hi Helen, I am being challenged to look in the mirror with indifference. I am challenged to trust that which creates all reflections as the almighty and final word. There is fear and questions of how and when and where and what must I do, as I feel something is on the horizon. These are foreign concepts for the self. All I can do is stay in my heart. I don't know how to proceed. And I realize that this is grace. The silence and emptiness is grace. I am in a territory that is unrecognizable to me, and nothing can be gained from the reflection. I look upon it and question what I have never questioned before. I see pain differently. I see lack differently. I even see tragedy differently. Destroying all the meaning of past and current reflections, looking only at the one, Shiva is grace. All is the one. As separation is obliterated, what is left? There is an ever-unfolding mystery. Whatever is coming forth does not need my help. What could this someone give the infinite but an empty channel through which to express? What the self seems to be saying is that I've always been here, only you didn't recognize me as you. As I step reluctantly into the light, I see glimpses of this self coming through the most unlikely avenues, waiting for my acceptance and willingness to be it fully. I get emotional when I think of how I have accepted the reflection as me. I can see how my complete surrender could open worlds upon worlds, and yet I pause. My life is perfect for what is being birthed through me. All is perfection, all of it. As I witness cracks of light coming through my being, how do I continue with my willingness without getting overwhelmed or fearful? To know what it is and to be it still feels a bit separate." Well, I'd just like to say that what you're feeling is very normal. It was very, very similar for me, even though I saw it really beginning to happen. It was, oh my goodness, you know what? There was a sense of, this is too much, too full on. And I'd urge you just to recognize there is this part of you that's fearful. There is the egoic sense of self that is fearing and hesitant to step forward. But there is also this part of you that's already it and is already the self, as you've clearly stated here. That part of you does not need the egoic sense of self to feel ready for this to occur. And that's the biggest cheat, if you will, in the awakening process that I ever learned, which was something within me, acceptance that something within me, my separate sense of self, is never, ever going to feel ready for this. And I don't have to make it feel ready. I can just notice that I already am this. These feelings of, you've mentioned, overwhelmed, fearful, questions, something feeling challenged. It's just honoring that, that something within you feels that way, but also not allowing that to inhibit you, because everything it feels overwhelmed by is has already occurred. So if I feel overwhelmed about allowing this light to fully penetrate my existence, to fully take over my life, so to speak, then that's still from the place of separation, as you said, and really can't do much about that, because from the egoic sense of self, it'll always seem like that's what's going to occur. Instead, you can just see, well, you know, I am the light bulb already, and light is coming through me. All I'm doing is turning up my own brilliance, my own brightness, my own radiance. And it's really more just a question of being able to experience your authentic self in any moment, feeling much more like yourself in any moment than you ever have. And that doesn't feel always marvelous and spectacular and grandiose, and more often it'll just be normal, but you'll feel completely comfortable at home in your life, completely free, no worries, that type of thing. So just check if you're trying to make the egoic sense of self feel ready to allow the full embodiment of what you are into your life, the manifestation into your life, because it never will be. And it doesn't need to be, which is very good news. I think, you know, if I could find that fragment of myself now, it would still be saying, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I'm not going to make it. It's too hard. It's taking too long. I'm not good enough anyway. Because it literally can't see the self, the ego, even though the self is the ground in which it's appearing and is also its own source. And there really isn't any difference between self and ego. Ego is a tool that looks through the senses, through the mind. It compares. It tries to discern one or the other. And so it's trying to do that here, isn't it? How am I going to feel ready to let go and surrender myself to the great self? And if the self could really answer ego, it would say, you don't have to. It doesn't matter. What you're wondering how to do is already deeply in progress and finished. And I say both of those, even though they seem paradoxical. It's happening anyway, already, even though you don't feel ready. And you can't stop it, which is a good thing, because you are that and you want to know yourself. So I hope that gives you some kind of guidance and direction as to how to work with it. Just love the ego, but don't try to make it into the unlimited expression. It's a limited expression, and it can never be unlimited in its way it perceives the world. It's never going to be able to look at the self and go, oh, you know what, that's quite harmless after all. I'll surrender now. And in the end, even the issue of surrender becomes irrelevant to the process. You just keep seeing more and more that that is what you already are. And there's no danger in allowing yourself to be yourself, because you're already that. There's nothing to fear there. Every slight trouble and tremor that you're having here is coming from ego, because it thinks the self is separate to itself, ego. It can only see them as two, and you can know that they're one. So it's wonderful. Hopefully that helps to guide the direction. Next is, Namaste, Helen. My feedback is to express my humble gratitude for you and your wonderful teachings. I continue to see myself ever more deeper, whilst knowing this could not possibly end, like I'm only just beginning to know myself. How amazing is that? Peace, purity, perfection, and the love that I am is ever more unfolding. and cannot thank you enough for your guidance and pointings. When there appears to be any limitation or closing around a belief in the reflection, I now see this as a gift, the opportunity to know myself deeper. I relish this. It's magic, a miracle unfolding, pure truth being revealed, beautiful. I'm filled with awe and my own awesomeness, my power, grace, and intellect. I am magnificent and always compassionate and love myself and all the expressions I can appear as well. There are no words now, just thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, thank you for the gift of the Sanghas and allowing me to facilitate one and indexing your teachings on this graduate program. You're very, very welcome, and thank you for your help and participation in that. All of this teaching only comes together through all of us working together. And, you know, if you look at any spiritual teacher, all the attention goes to the teacher and not to the many, many beings that are working around them and making this really, really possible. You know, the message is the message, but it has to get out there, and that takes a lot of bodies to make that happen. I just want to say thank you to everyone that's helping in that way. And the Sanghas are invaluable support and a place that you can study and discuss what you're learning, what you're seeing. And just to keep that attitude that you have, just stay open. Never, ever assume that you have seen it all. And you'll always be happy and free. Even when something comes up in the reflection, it's just, oh, there's something to look at. And it doesn't mean you're failing like it used to. It doesn't mean you're not there yet like it used to, all of that. So wonderful. And thank you for your words. Next one. Dear Helen, I've been focusing on opening up to new ways of being and experiencing life. So I have a quick question. For instance, let's say everything is going well, and then I start experiencing some digestive problems after eating something that didn't sit well in the stomach. I know it's nothing serious, but I become unhappy for having to go through this. My immediate thinking is, oh, everything was fine. Why did this have to happen? In this example, the feeling of well-being experienced before the incident was noticed only after I had lost it. It was clear to me that when everything is going well, I'm not appreciative of those moments. They usually go unnoticed. Well, that's normal, isn't it? For all of us, we do that to some extent. So I asked myself, why is it that those moments go unnoticed? Would it be that they are not interesting to the mind, which gets more excited and thrives on conflict? Would it be a good practice to pay more attention to the blah, uneventful moments and see what else they have to offer? I'd like to feel more joyful and energetic. Much love and gratitude. And a huge smiley face. I would like to say that for this, none of us value and appreciate what we have until we feel challenged in its absence. That's kind of how we're stretched to grow, isn't it? Only when I feel I've lost something would I try to get it back, and would I perhaps begin to value it more? And it's just a natural part of that. But I would highly recommend sitting and just, you know, noticing what's here already. Right now, we can skim the surface of this moment. You can just be listening to these words and not really sort of open. Or you can really be listening, what is this moment? And these words are part of this moment, aren't they? This body is, your body is. What else is there present in this moment that you can experience? And that in itself is a perfect spiritual practice. I can experience myself as this self-doubt. I can experience myself as this feeling in my digestive system. I can experience myself as this pain. I can experience myself as peace. There's also a deep silence present when I really, really get into the moment, see what else there is. And I would suggest doing that if you can, just spending some time looking at what else is present. Or you could say that we get as much peace as we look for, which may sound strange. it's okay also to allow this thing that's happened to look at the cause and effect around it. There's a belief that if I eat this thing, then I'm going to be upset by it. Now, I had this situation with certain foods that I used to eat that would always upset me. And when I really began to dive into causality, I really began to see this food can't cause this issue in my body because they are one. They're the same thing. It's not this and that. It's this and this taking different shapes. so you begin to see through it, then you can enjoy those foods without them having that same effect upon the body. Whether you choose to eat them then or not is up to you, but you want to have this cause and effect cycle going on. So I suggest both looking at it in a deeper way, the actual thing that seems to have disturbed you, but also diving into this moment at different times, like you've said, to really look at what is present here now that we're overlooking. Right now, there is infinite peace, joy, love, right here, right now, wherever you're watching this, whenever you're watching this, it's always going to be the same. And if there's a slight egoic mechanism functioning, we're going to be looking towards the future or looking at the past and missing this moment in its fullness. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, ego is going to do its thing. That's what it does. But you can also bring your own focus, your powerful focus, which is really all you have to work with and all you need, to this present moment and see what is here. And really, you know, just to, in your case here, you've said you'd like to feel more joyful and energetic. And those are great questions. Is it really true? I can run out of joy. I can run out of energy. Or what else is here in this moment? Because there must be infinite supply of everything you want right now, right here. So hopefully that helps you to have some direction with it. Good, good. We'll move on to the next one. Dear Helen, just a short note to say that the causality lesson is sinking in much more deeply into my daily life, which is wonderful. I also started reading your book, How to Fall in Love with Yourself, which I can't put down. It is like an oasis in the desert. Consequently, I've not further contemplated the GP homework. Some of it seems a little beyond me right now. The definitions of subject and object, objective came up for me as for my fellow students last week. I would like to explore further, but I haven't yet. I also see that I'm unclear about how to relate manifestation to the form and formless, but haven't even formulated a question to ask you as of today. Since there's still a week left in January, hope to look before next Sunday. Thank you for this stimulating content. It is a joy to be present for this work. Namaste. So it's enough that causality, the understanding, is sinking deeper in. And there'll always be aspects perhaps that you don't mentally grasp. Same for me right now. And if the understanding is kind of sinking deeper inside, that's enough. You've got enough from this month's work. And I would always urge you to go with what pulls you more than anything. If you're finding there's something really for you in this book, How to Love Yourself, then I would absolutely advise diving into that and exploring that, because it's all the same anyway. It's going to take you to the same place to really begin to understand what love is without division. Firstly, what conditional love is and how to stop judging ourselves for that. Secondly, what unconditional love is, how to move into that, because none of us have been taught that. We might have stumbled across it accidentally in one of our relationships, i.e. parent and child's relationships. It tends to be more unconditional. A couple that's been married for a long time will eventually develop unconditional love after working through all of their stuff together. And nobody's ever consciously taught us how to develop unconditional love. And then the fullest expression is love without any division, without a you and a me. There's no one loving and no beloved, and where those meet is beautiful. And it's really just the same I'm just saying it a different way that some of us can hear easier, and making it step by step again. So if that's what's pulling you right now, I would absolutely recommend going with that. Dive into it, let it reveal what it wants to reveal inside. And you don't need to try hard with any of these lessons during, you know, these months' study subjects. You're going through the course again, when we go through lesson two again, it'll just be even clearer. And there's no end goal with that. You know, it'll be even clearer for me when I explain it. Just hearing myself explain it and hearing your questions that come in over the course and over the graduate program helps it get even clearer for me. So it's not, there's no end there anyway. And there's something here for you in this book, isn't there? So always honor that. That's your own guidance saying this is the easiest way for you right now to progress and allow a greater seeing of what you really are. And that's why I wrote that book. And all of the books I've written are saying the same thing in different ways. Some of us like certain ways to digest what we're hearing. Just why, that's why there is all these different practices in dissolving the ego, because we all like different ways. They're all the same thing, of course. So I hope that gives you some encouragement just to go with what is happening anyway. And everything else that you need to understand is sinking in the background anyway. It's not so much about how much time you put into it. It's really just staying interested in the lessons. That is enough. Enjoying the course again and again and enjoying this work that we do together in a graduate program, which isn't really work, but, you know, this deeper guided seeing. And it's always going to be exactly what you've needed. And it's good to honor that feeling inside you that this is where I want to go right now. This is what I want to look at. So if you feel moved to send some more homework in about cause and effect next week, go for it. If you don't, perfect too. You know, you could even send in what you're discovering from the book. Yeah, that would, I would love to hear that too. So whatever you feel guided to, it's always going to be best. And at this stage, you're able to see whether you're avoiding something out of resistance because it will feel uncomfortable, there'll be some suffering, or whether you're going in a different direction out of your own guidance. And it's clear to me that that is what's happening here, not resistance. That would be the only thing I would say to check anyway, you know, just check that you're not avoiding something you need to look at. But I don't feel that's true because you've got, you said you can't put the book down. That's saying it's really resonating with you right now. Wonderful. Next. Hi, Helen. I've really been trying to notice when cause and effect is happening throughout the day. It seems to be easier to spot many patterns of belief playing out, but I guess there are many times when I fall asleep again and fail to spot them. I'm trying to remain vigilant the best I can, so it is starting to become a consistent way to approach life rather than setting aside times of the day to sit and notice this. I'm listening to the body more and more when it tells how I feel about what is occurring right now in any given moment. There is still fear sometimes, which is reducing, but I'm starting to realize there is anger there too. In fact, a lot of anger, which really comes out in my dreams. I can see more clearly that I've never handled anger very well and suppressed a lot of it. It's anger towards other people, but a good chunk of anger is directed at myself. Have you any advice to help me deal with this suppressed anger? Thanks. So you will feel a diminishment of the fear and as you're looking at it. And what you've said here is perfect, that it's more about incorporating it into your life, wanting to see throughout your day, wanting to notice throughout your day rather than segmenting it. We have to start that way, don't we? I'm going to sit down now and do this causality work. And there's always going to be a use for that. I still sit in the morning and just ponder over, you know, is there anything that came up yesterday that I missed? Is there any part of my life where the manifestation isn't flowing fully? And then starting to look for the belief, if there's a belief, which become ever more subtle, to, you know, so that's always part of my day. And it's literally just a couple of minutes. And then the rest of the day now is just spent in open curiosity, seeing what comes up. So it does shift to more this way of being rather than something we're doing. And that's a natural thing that happens because we feel it more encouraged to do it more. It feels more exciting, more open, more there's more willingness to see. And as the willingness to see deepens, then we're going to be wanting to see more often. And that's why you're starting to become aware of this anger. And anger is probably the next thing that expresses itself in a lot of beings after fear, you know, after fear and unworthiness. They really are only three main emotions that we're dealing with in karmic patterns. That's fear, unworthiness, or guilt and shame, same really, very subtle differences on unworthiness, and anger, you know, of which frustration, irritation, impatience are all subtle forms, lesser forms of anger. And anger is, for a lot of beings, we can be scared of anger. I was scared of anger, of feeling it. And I had this association with anger inside myself, that anger is dangerous because it makes me feel powerful, and I didn't want to feel that I was going to be out of control. And the examples that we've had of anger in society are really when anger has been suppressed for so long and the beliefs aren't being seen. So when a person is really unconscious and really feeling unconscious to what they really are and really feeling that the world is unfair, that life is unfair, it can express itself in very extreme cases, in, you know, road rage, in a rage, you know, where somebody might do something, you know, these things we see in the nightly news, where it's just been this explosion of anger, where somebody has done something to other beings, and only really realized afterwards, you know, this kind of red mist that comes in some of us. But that is extreme cases, and that is where the person is not willing to look at what they really are, or able to yet look at what they really are. So we have to understand that we're never going to, anger is always going to be a positive thing for us, that we may be scared of it at first. We may have lots of beliefs around it. We may have been told in very subtle ways that anger isn't an appropriate emotion to express. And, you know, you can see that if you look at a 2 or 3 year old trying to get what they want, demanding it and expressing a lot of anger and coming to realize that that is not the, you know, being told even overtly, that's not the way to get what you want. And of course, I'm not saying we shouldn't discipline, you know, our children and all of that, teach them manners, etc. But we may have subtly got the message that anger is not appropriate, that we shouldn't be showing it or feeling it. Not through anybody's fault, but just, you know, how it is in itself. So if we can come to recognize that anger is there under the fear, and the more that we want to see it, the less we will be at the effect of it. If I don't want to see the anger, I've got no choice but to act out these unconscious beliefs, which end up in rage and things like that. The more I want to see it, the more I will just be able to feel it in my body without identifying with it and allowing that to come to the surface, just allowing it to exist, not judging it as wrong, which is conditional love or where ego would see anger. Anger makes me unsafe. Was one of my beliefs. Feeling angry makes me unsafe. I really saw that pattern inside myself. And paradoxically, because I feel unsafe and can't seem to feel safe in everything I'm trying to do to feel safe, trying to reorganize the manifestation to make me feel safe, then I just kept getting more and more angry because it wasn't working. So I was in this cycle, which I find a lot of beings in, alternating between fear and anger. So just noticing it's there, honoring it, recognizing it's not going to play out the way if, you know, we have this unconscious fear that if I let myself feel this anger, I'm going to be the one on the nightly news, you know. And it's just not like that. The more conscious we are of it, the less we're at the effect of it. Any belief, any emotion, you know, we can feel, can allow our body to feel the heat of the anger as much as we can in that moment, to just let it exist, give it permission to exist, to feel it, to accept it, to allow it to be. Doesn't mean we like it or want it to stay or agree with it, believe it, identify with it. It's the subtle art of allowing what is to be, but also preferring something else in the future. I prefer more peace, but I recognize right now there's a lot of anger, so you can feel that. Suppression is just something that you've done to help you feel safe, and we all do it. We are all kind of very subtly given the message by society that emotions are bad. You look at how many beings can actually cry in front of another person, and you'll see just that. You know, how many of us can authentically feel our emotions in any moment. So suppression has just become a habit which just has to be undone by really wanting to see what's there. Suppression is, just go over there inside my being, stay over there. I don't want to feel this because either it's not safe to do so, it's not appropriate to do so, or I won't be lovable if I express anger, you know, some kind of feeling inside. So just, you know, if you want to speed it up, you can look at why you're suppressing it. What are the reasons? And are they true when you see them, when you examine them? Are they really valid for how you want to live your life now? And you can see, hopefully, that this is a good thing. Anger is coming up now because you want to see it. It's been there, spilling out the sides, like you said, in your dreams, etc. And it affects the way that we act with everyone, even if we don't know it's there. You know, we're subtly, we can be defensive, we can not trust others as easy as we could, you know, without the anger. So just to recognize, of course, I've had to suppress it if I feel it's unsafe or something like that, not to blame yourself for that. And then to allow it to come to the surface whenever it's ready. It doesn't have to stop your peace either, does it? If you're fully accepting what is, then you can feel anger, fear, terror, shame, guilt, all of it, and still be peaceful and even joyful and even blissful. To the extent that you welcome any negative emotion, is the extent you will still be peaceful and joyful. And I'm actually speaking from my direct experience there. I've handled some really negative emotions this exact way by, you know, I didn't like them, didn't even want them, but I accepted they exist. Therefore, I want to honor what is. That's what the truth does. The silence, the stillness, the peace, the truth is not, the noumenon is not saying, okay, you can show up as joy, but not fear, or, you know, I'd prefer if you didn't happen as anger. Can you just come back as bliss? It's just not doing that, is it? It just kind of has this equal opinion about everything, every way it shows up. And you can be like that in that moment. The human part of you is never going to like negative emotions, but the self will always welcome. And you can have both of those going on at the same time. Don't like this. I'd rather it not be here, but my body is feeling it, so I can let that happen. And hopefully that gives you direction with it. Wonderful. So we will just do one more before we take a break. Hello. Hello, Helen. Thank you for this really wonderful opportunity to be able to write to you and honestly look at who am I really. I've been feeling unease, and sometimes the mind will say things were better before. They're getting worse now because of this course or XYZ, whatever the flavor of the moment might bring. It seems like there are so many reasons for the various feelings and thoughts that arise. I wrote 8 pages of lack thoughts this morning on so many topics and feelings, all the while asking, is this true? At times I feel the emptiness watching it, and at times it feels like I'm the author of my life. These are my experiences and I'm responsible for them. It seems like life on this planet is the unending story, almost like a trap, like a Rolodex of thoughts and feelings and sensations unfolding, or a library of books on various topics and new ones being published every day. The mind having so many stories it wants to be. As I write this, I wonder about the thought, you have no control over the world you made, and a sense of helplessness of being a pawn in my own story. Could you help me see this differently and untangle what's up today? Thank you. Well, just because we're becoming more aware of the tangled massive causality loops that is our personal self, usually a separate sense of self when we first start this work, doesn't mean it's getting worse. Mind will compare and say, well, it was much more peaceful when you weren't doing this. But we're doing this so that we can allow this peace to be constantly present, so that we never need to have it diminished at all, so that the beliefs that are filtering its clear expression are going to be removed and undone. And the ability to see lack, to perceive lack, will disappear with that. There can't be any lack in the natural state, but there will appear to be lack where there is some belief diminishing the full expression of the self in its form and in its manifestation. So you are the author of your life, and you are your life, and you are the space in which both of those are appearing. And you don't, it's not true that you don't have any control over what manifests. You cannot change the manifestation directly. So if I'm experiencing a situation where there's not enough, let's say not enough time, let's use that example. I'm consistently finding I just don't seem to have enough time to do everything I need to do, and I feel stressed. Trying to lessen my load, do less, or somehow be more efficient is probably not going to work at this point. It's going to make it worse even, because the belief is really what's at the core, and it's not agreement now with what I've seen myself to be. So actually, excuse me, if these situations are seeming to get worse in your everyday experience, or there's lots of lack being perceived, it's an actually an advanced problem to have. If these beliefs like I don't have enough time were not true, were true rather. If these beliefs that I don't have enough time were true, feeling true for you still, you wouldn't have this lack appearing. Everything would be going swimmingly. It's actually because now there's so much of a difference between what you've seen yourself to be, what is real, infinite, expansive, undivided abundance, infinite supply, and the belief that you're filtering it through. There's such a big difference now between that. You've really, really, really seen yourself to be the noumenon, but it's still filtering through this idea that there's not enough, or there can be not enough of something. That's why this is really showing up. So all these beliefs have always been there, our entire existence. We're just becoming more aware of them now. We've been able to see them now and see where they're affecting our life, and its fullest expression has been diminished by the belief. So just because we were kind of walking around like this before doesn't mean they weren't there. Now we go, wow, look at all these tangled massive beliefs, and it seems like too much at first when you see it. But rather than trying to sort them all out at once, it's much more efficient to just try to get a little grasp of causality, that anything that's wrong out there is really a reflection of some idea I'm holding on to in here, because in here and out there are one. And as I really examine the belief that this suggests to me, there's not enough time in this example I'm using, can that be true for the noumenon? Absolutely not. Outside of time. And I was like, well, can this really be true? This situation that I seem to be experiencing, can it be true here? just your willingness to see is why you're seeing this tangled mess, because you've developed the willingness to see. It's always been there. Spaghetti Junction, right there in our lives. We've just been completely unaware. I was going to say blissfully unaware, but it's usually miserably unaware of it. And now that you're seeing it, you can begin to just the seeing of it is allowing you to come out of it. So you are seeing the Rolodex, but it's not your job. You don't have to go reorganize the library, tidy it up and all of that. You don't have to get rid of the stories. You just have to look at the ones as they're shown to you. Is this true now? Am I going to still give this belief as much investment now? That's all. That's all you need to do to see the situation in your life or your finances or your relationships or your body. What does that seem to suggest? What do I think and feel inside? What is the belief, the prevailing attitude I have? And am I willing to question that now? Well, an answer to that must be yes, because you're seeing it. You wouldn't be able to see the belief, all the stories, if you weren't willing to question. That doesn't mean the ego is going to not kind of do its, oh God, all this work to do, you know, that it's got this long to-do list. Whereas the self's like, wow, here's where I can express more of myself. Here's where I can allow a fuller expression. Here's where I can be an example of infinite abundance, you know, that I can never run out of anything, including time. So just recognizing it doesn't mean it's suddenly being created. It's always been there. You're just shining a light on what's always been there with the tools now to come to a deeper ability to see it and undo it. So it's good to know sometimes why it seems to be getting worse. I had that real feeling too, that there is a period where there's, you know, when you really begin to grasp causality on some level, even if your mind doesn't understand it, your mind will never understand causality. And that's okay. When you really begin to kind of grasp, this is my reflection and it's reflecting what I feel is true inside still. And some part of my being, the suburbs of my being, is still believing this. A little bit, you know, the inner city has got the message and now it's spreading out to the suburbs. And there's a couple of isolated little places where it's still believing this belief and it's therefore reflecting in this way in my life. And if you start to see that this is happening, you wouldn't be having issues in your life in a manifestation if you felt these beliefs were true. Otherwise, everybody else out there who's asleep to their real nature is walking around with these beliefs and they're completely believing them because they feel true. They keep experiencing them, so they feel true. It's only a problem for you now because there is such a big gap now from what you've seen yourself to be. You've done a really good job of the seeing. This goes for everyone that's feeling this way, not just the homework I'm answering, the student I'm answering here. And it's good to spend just a few moments on it, that it's an advanced problem to have. If you hadn't seen yourself clearly, you would not be feeling like it's getting worse. It took me such a long time to grasp that. But then when I did, I began to really embrace the karmic patterns, the reflections that were shown to me as evidence of just how far I've come, that I can no longer tolerate this belief at all. Not even 2% of my being. Before, I was believing it 100%. I'm not safe. I'm not good enough. Now, two houses in one suburb believe it, and it's causing this big reflection to happen because the message has spread so far and wide throughout the whole district of my being. I am indivisible and formless, and you know, I've seen that enough times that this belief is now totally out of alignment with what I know myself to be, and that's why it's becoming an issue. So something to be celebrated, isn't it? It's an advanced problem to have. It's evidence of just how far we've come and how much our identity has shifted to being the self. So it's really, really important to grasp this, and to congratulate yourself. It's okay to do that. And there's a period after that has really been seen, and after you've really sort of got to have a grasp on causality, and you stop trying to directly change the manifestation, and you try to change it indirectly by looking at the belief and questioning if it's true. Where those beliefs come up, now that you can see them, they all want to be seen. Please heal me. Please allow fuller expression. Truth wants to pervade your entire being and live consciously. You want to live consciously as this all the time, and that's why this is happening. So if you can see that that's the case, then celebrate it. You know, I wouldn't be having this conversation with someone who hasn't really seen what they are, because these beliefs would feel true. The fact that we can have this conversation, or you could say, this is the most advanced problem you can have. Now, if I believe one thought for a couple of minutes, it shows up in a physical way in my life somewhere, in my body or something. And that's not like, oh my God, it's endless work. It's like, wow, I've just so completely seen what's true. If I entertain a thought at all, it immediately shows. So I hope that is helpful for you, and some guidance, and for everybody really, because we'll all be feeling that way. So I'll take a break and we'll come back in a little while with the rest of the homework. Thank you. Namaste.